As promised, we are joined right now by the head coach of the Atlanta Hawks. He's entering his second season with the Hawks. He led them to a 5-win improvement over the previous year. He spent the previous 5 seasons with Philadelphia. Also a member of the USA basketball coaching staff. My guest is Lloyd Pierce. Lloyd, really nice to have you on the show. How are you?
Good. How you doing, Joe?
Good, good. Now, Lloyd, I don't know if you know this or not, but it's a conversation that I've been looking to have for quite some time because of your time with my guy, Brett Brown, in Philadelphia, and because of the job you've done since taking over Atlanta. It's been nearly 14 months since you were named the head coach there. What has that time been like for you so far?
You know, it's different. I think people ask all the time, what's the difference between being an assistant coach and a head coach? And there's a number of things you can start listing off. I think for me, the biggest experience is just being in the city of Atlanta, a very young team. The organization renovated the arena, so there's just this newness about everything since I've taken over with the job. And I think you're starting to see the excitement, not only with last year's draft, but this year's draft as well. Travis Schlenk, our GM, has done an unbelievable job of positioning us and then giving us an opportunity to go out and draft the guys that we were able to draft: DeAndre Hunter, Cam Reddish, Trae Young, Kevin Herter last year, John Collins the year before that, Bruno Fernando. So a lot of excitement. I'm just happy to be a part of it.
We're talking to Lloyd Pierce. He's the head coach of the Atlanta Hawks. I could ask you about any number of those guys, Lloyd, but what about Trae Young? Big part of the buzz is that he had that rookie season that was huge, and he made that transition from college to the NBA. It's always difficult, even more so when you're playing point guard. You've made the point that running the point in the fourth quarter of a close game is graduate-level game management.
Right.
What did you mean by that, and what do you make of how he progressed over the past season?
Well, I think, you know, that every team is looking for someone that can close the game out. And, you know, one of the reasons why I believe Trae was able to translate his game last year so seamlessly in a lot of ways, he's used to playing with the basketball. He's used to making plays for other guys. He's used to creating his own shot. He has the ability, the skill level, and the confidence to do it. And so sometimes you see it translate after a couple of years. He did it pretty easily. You know, he didn't make shots early on, and I think a lot of people said that was him underperforming. The shots just didn't go in at the time, but he was still creating shot opportunities. I think he ended up being 5th in total assists in the NBA last year as a rookie. So he just has a unique ability. And as the season progressed, he was able to read when teams were blitzing and when teams were hedging, just aggressively understand how to attack different coverages and still facilitate and make plays for our team.
We're talking to Lloyd Pierce. He's the head coach of the Atlanta Hawks. You know, you played your college ball at Santa Clara, and you were a critical part of those great teams that had Steve Nash and Marlon Garnett. I'm not going to ask you to compare Young to Nash, of course, but when he's watched tape of Nash, what are you hoping he takes away from that?
Well, I think that's probably one of the biggest similarities. A lot of people say Trae or Steph with Trae are the comparisons. I think with Nash, you just see a guy that, with the basketball, you always feel there's some opportunity or some play being ready, being made. You know, he can pass with his left hand on the baseline. He can find guys across the court. He can do a lot of different things. And just the ability to read the defense, make the simple play, make the right play, make the play that sometimes guys don't even know are there. Just the ability to make that pass and create for other guys. So Trae's a big fan of Steve Nash. They've had the opportunity to go to Spain together for some soccer things and just be in constant communication. I think that's the greatest thing I have going with Trae.
So when you have Trae and you have John Collins and you have Kevin Herter and you've got some of the other pieces you have, there's a feeling that the team could be really good, really fast. But that said, you've been really clear that you're not going to skip steps.
So right.
What would the next step look like?
I think the next step is just, are we better? You know, Trae and people talk about how we played post All-Star break. Well, I want to play that way to start the season. I want to have excitement. I want to have a lot of chemistry with our guys. Even though we're adding a bunch of new guys, I feel like we should start the season feeling as if we have a little cohesion amongst the group. And that's going to start with Trae. That's going to start with John. John was pretty much a 20-10 guy last year. We need him to be a 20-10 guy when we start the season off. So for us, our next step is just progression. Are we a little bit better than we were last year, and can we get better again as the season progresses? They are young guys, but that's not an excuse. We want them to, you know, they're going to play 30-plus minutes, Trae, John, Kevin. We're going to add some new guys. So you know, if they're on the court, they got to produce, and that's really the most important part.
You know, I think the way you kind of connect with the young guys is really interesting. Now, I want to read you a quote. It's going to take a minute. Lloyd Pierce is my guest. You recently had a great answer, I thought, to a question from Chris Kirshner, which included, quote, "This is a grown man's league. Not everybody is coming in here and calling me Coach Pierce. They'll say LP. That's not a lack of respect. Back in the day, maybe, but not today. That's just the nature of the game now. We communicate on the same wavelength. Some people do call me Coach Pierce. Some call me LP. I'm good with it. So when we communicate, I don't want them at bleep attention talking to me like yes sir, no sir, I'll do whatever you say, coach. I want coach. Why are we running that? I don't like that scheme," end quote. So that was a long quote, but I think it really makes a pretty significant point. Some coaches may not want that relationship. Why is that important to you?
I learned long time ago, even before I got into the NBA, you know, one of the biggest and key components in coaching at the professional level is having a dynamic and special relationship with your top player. And, you know, it stood out to me a long time ago. Why is that so important? Well, it is. If your best player, the guy's making the most money and doing the most production, if you and him don't get along, well, you don't get along with anyone else. It's just going to be a trickle-down effect. And so as you're establishing the relationship and you're enhancing the communication with the guys, I think the important part is, you know, what type of relationship do you want to have? I want one that's authentic and I want one that's real. And so calling me Coach Pierce, if that's not authentic, I'm okay with it. Whatever you feel is authentic, LP is what everyone else calls me outside of the coaching profession and inside the coaching profession, then I think you should just call me LP. That way we can talk and there's respect and there's a genuine form of communication the entire time.
We're talking to LP, Lloyd Pierce. You know, Lloyd, you're your own guy for sure, but hearing you answer that question that way kind of makes me think about a guy you used to be with in Brett Brown. I know how highly, having spoken to Brett Brown as much as I have, I know how highly he thought of you. What were you able to take away from your time working with him?
Well, Brett is probably the most genuine and authentic person I know, mainly because of the passion he has when he coaches, the passion he has about life, the passion he has about the guys that he's working with. You know, he was the single most important factor in me getting this job, and his endorsement, the confidence he speaks with about me. You know, I have a lot of assistant coach friends in the NBA who were envious when they heard Brett endorse me last year, you know, wishing that their head coach did that. And I think that's, you know, something I always will remember about Brett and you know, respect him for. But I think, you know, with him, he was just always a forward thinker. Every day he comes to work, he's very passionate about what he's doing. You enjoy working with him because he challenges you, but he respects you as well.
We're talking to Lloyd Pierce. I can appreciate it. Now, Lloyd, we talk Bay Area basketball. Like, I had Gary Payton on a podcast not long ago. We talked about growing up and playing ball in Oakland. Damian Lillard has talked about that. My guy Brian Shaw as well. Now, you grew up playing ball in San Jose, and the legend has it you were part of some of those big-time pickup games at Cherry Park. Is that true, and what were those games like?
You know, it's crazy how different, you know, people approach basketball now. No one plays at the park. I don't know any other way. San Jose, California, every Saturday, every Sunday, if you could find out where the best run was, it normally was at the park, and Cherry Park is probably the biggest name in San Jose. For me, it started like as a young guy. You're the young guy that's showing up to the park playing with grown men. You know, win or go home is just kind of the approach. And so right when you jump on the scene, you're trying to hold your own against older guys, and then you've got to play winning basketball, which means, you know, foul at all costs if it's game point. You know, those type of environments, it sucks that that's not how it is anymore, but I appreciate it growing up playing basketball that way.
Lloyd Pierce, my guest. You mentioned in California. Let's talk West Coast for 1 second. You know, I know you're a big pizza guy. I love pizza. New York people will talk about their pizza. Chicago people talk about their pizza. How about West Coast pizza? Give me
and
your
best. I talk about Round Table.
Round Table. Is that it?
Yeah,
tell me.
It's Round Table without a doubt. I'm trying to convince everybody about it. Everyone knows on my Instagram, all you see is Round Table Pizza. It's pretty much my sign that I'm back on the West Coast somewhere. You'll see a Round Table Pizza show up on my Instagram account. You know, it's a classic high school post-football game. You know, go hang out. That's where we used to hang out, Round Table Pizza in San Jose.
Listen, really good thin crust, good cheese. A little little pricey, right? A little bit pricey.
No, it's perfectly priced.
There it is. You got to rep the West
Coast.
That's
my guy, Mark Spears. You know, Mark Spears and I, we grew up in San Jose. He was at a rival high school, so he knows all about it. We pretty much share at the same round table in the area. So he's one of the guys that gives me a hard time and documents it a lot.
That's a blast. You know what I think? Like in my area, Shakey's was a big thing back in the day.
Yep.
How about
yep.
Shakey's? How would that compare?
I don't think it would compare, but I
right.
know it.
Nothing does, though. Nothing does. It last thought, back in April, you were named to the USA basketball coaching staff, and you joined Steve Kerr, Jay Wright as assistants to Greg Popovich. Every time I talk to a head coach who's been a part of USA basketball, they rave about what an honor it is and what a great learning experience it is, too. How much are you looking forward to it?
It's a tremendous honor. In a lot of ways, I sit and I say, I have no idea how I got selected for this thing. You know, Pop's got 5 rings. Jay's got 2 national championships. Steve Kerr's got 3 championships. And I'm sitting there saying, and I'm the 4th guy on the staff. You know, how do I contribute? But we've had our first coaches meeting. We all flew out to San Antonio, and Pop, you know, really took command of where we are and what we want to do. And just instantly the buzz, the excitement, the honor that I have, you know, representing our country, but being on that stage with those coaches, I think it's just probably the greatest experience I'll have as a coach, and I'm really looking forward to it.
Atlanta Hawks head coach Lloyd Pierce, my guest. Lloyd, this is why a few moments back I started the interview by saying I've been trying to get this done for quite some time. I'm glad we finally came together. Really nice to have you on the show. I thought that was a great conversation, Lloyd. I appreciate you. Thanks so much.
Many years ago, you did the Jim Rome show, and you had a guest, Delonte West, on your show. I was coaching in Cleveland at the time. It was probably one of the funniest segments I've ever seen, where you just followed him around with the mic. I don't know if you remember that.
But, my man.
That
hey,
was
can I tell you, not only do I remember that, that was called the correspondent piece, which I did for ESPN, and we did dozens and dozens. That was far and away the best one ever. And since
so
you mentioned that.
I was in Cleveland at the time when all of that was going on.
What?
It was probably one of the funniest 2 days ever.
Dude, what was he like to be around? Was he like that every single day? What was it like to coach Delonte?
Every single day. He is one of the most gifted, artistic guys. I mean, he could sit at a piano and just start playing music and then forget the song 5 minutes later. You know, just a unique gift and skill. He was comedic. He was hilarious. He was one of the toughest and hardest competitors that you'll have. And a lot of people don't know that about him. You know, any drill, any sprint, you know, he probably has every record. I know he has the sprint record in Boston. He probably has all of them in Cleveland, but he definitely was like that every day.
So let me ask you, listen to this really quickly. Does this sound familiar to you?
This is one of the main culprits right here, J.J. Hickson, forgot the donuts today.
Yep. Broke back J.J.
Broke back J.J. Look, Jim, his excuse was he had an MRI today, so he couldn't stop past the Krispy Kremes.
I couldn't. Who was Jim? Who was Jim?
Hold on, buddy. You got to cut that part out right there.
Who was Jim?
Jim Rome.
Rome and Bernie?
Yeah.
What's up,
man? Lloyd, how good is that? I mean, that's as good as it gets.
That is hilarious. J.J. Hickson, Delonte West, the donut. We used to make the guys go to Krispy Kreme. It was about 45 minutes outside of the city. I remember that was one of the funniest segments we've ever seen.
He goes, broke back J.J. So he had a broken back.
That was pretty good.
Playing
trains,
right.
Automobiles, don't forget my donuts.
My man, Lloyd, you are the best. So glad you said that. That is awesome. Glad you brought that up, man. I appreciate you so much, Lloyd. That was great. Thank you.
Not a problem.
You got it, man. Be good. Have a great day. Planes, trains, automobiles. Don't forget my donuts.
Planes,
he
just
quoted it.
You better have my donuts.
The head coach of the Hawks just quoted that. My man, Lloyd Pierce. That is so awesome. I didn't know that was coming. He said, I don't know if you remember that, Jim. Well, I remember that, Coach. Check that LP. I remember that LP. We all remember that. It was the single greatest correspondent piece in the history of the program. I've always got kind of a soft spot in my heart for Delonte. I love Delonte because that was just magic. If for whatever reason you have not seen that, go find it on YouTube. It is absolutely classic. He's peerless in that regard. It's unparalleled. It was the most amazing thing to watch, the most amazing thing to see. We quoted that correspondent piece for years on this show.